right, let's stand, please. Tonight is the conclusion of the series that I've been speaking on for at least, see if I can remember, it's 15 Psalms plus 2 plus 1, that's 18 plus 19 times. So this, I think, is the 19th time. Hard to believe, there's 15 Psalms. If you want to know where we're going after this, Lord willing, there's not too many collections in the book of Psalms. There's a collection at the end, pray Psalms, but it's impossible to preach separate sermons on Psalm 145, 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50. It wouldn't work. There is another section that we're going to deal with, I think, and that is going to be Psalm 93, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and 100. That's what I'm looking at right now. It's the only other section in the book of Psalms that's somewhat coherent. And there's songs and psalms that talk about the Lord reigning, which I think we need to hear as we move forward. Look at me, everybody. Unless you're asleep, our country is either moving to total chaos or civil war. The hatred is that level. And part of it is our own fault, not us particularly. And I'm not trying to be I'm not a prophet. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm just stating facts. We're at the place now where the hatred for normal people is at a level I can't imagine. And how people despise what I would consider normal people. You know, people that live in normal cities and rural areas, you are absolutely despised. Why? I don't know. I think it goes back to Barack Obama. Your God, your guns, and what was the other one? You guys are holding on to God and your guns and something else. I can't remember. What was it? And your trucks? Maybe it was. I'm like, really? These are the people you hate because they cause so much problems in America. All right, tonight we'll finish up, and this will be as short as I can make it. Psalm 84. Let's read together verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. I'm not going to speak on this. I want you to note the center of all of this was to be in God's presence in a specific kind of way. And this is found in many, many Psalms. Chapter 87, please. Chapter 87, verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. We're going to do, and this is actually part two of singing as we go. This is kind of a summary of some of the things we have dealt with and an emphasis tonight about the Pilgrim Psalms. Father, thank you for this time. Bless as we try to summarize and put together just some simple ideas that will help us on the journey. May this be a good night for your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Mr. Tupper just turned 20. When I was 18 and a half, I was stationed with, I'm about to curse in church, so forgive me, the Marine Corps at Parris Island, South Carolina. And I started to attend a church. The church was called Victory Baptist Church. I went to another church 3 or 4 weeks in a row right outside the Naval Hospital at that time. I don't remember the name of it. It was not a bad church, but I found a little church that was just starting called Victory Baptist Church. It was just founded. It had 3 groups of people: sailors, Marines, and some people from the community, just getting started. I still remember going in. By the way, I remember the excitement as an 18-year-old boy being away from home, being part of a church. And boy, did God get a hold of my life at that place. Very late 1975 and very early 1976. I still remember going in, and I still remember hearing for the first time, not my favorite song, but it was a song when you're around a bunch of newly saved people, unbelievable excitement. We sang Victory in Jesus. And by the way, some of these old boys, you got to understand the age. The Marines in 1975 had all come out of Vietnam. So these are people who were rough. I still remember went into the audience and the song leader. I'm going to compare him because he only compares to one person in our church, except worse. Who did you say? Why did you say Louis? Louis's a gentle soul. Yeah, he reminds you of Louis. He does remind you of Louis, only worse. I consider him a corn cob, the guy that I'm thinking about. He was an old gunny sergeant, Mike, from Vietnam. And he not only was a corn cob, he invented corn cobs. Rough. And folks, I still remember the singing, and he led the singing something like this. And I'm like, he didn't understand there was these, you know, bounce the ball patterns. You know, but he was an old gunny sergeant from Vietnam. You didn't not sing. Right after I joined the church, he came up to me and said, would you like to join the choir? No joke. You know how bad the choir was, don't you? He asked, can you join the choir? And I guess. So I joined the choir, and I still remember this was the goal of the choir, Pastor Kowak, to sing harmony and parts. He wanted somebody in the service to be able to sing the melody. Because there were multiple, by the way, can you think of a Marine in this room that sings on the wrong melody, huh? The whole church was like singing, it was terrible. So we spent every Sunday night practicing just to get us to sing melody. Which, by the way, if you say, I don't know what the melody, yeah, I know some of you don't, Mike. You don't know what the melody is, but the melody is the main tune. Can I say this? It's been almost 50 years, and it still brings me great joy to remember the joy of those days. You never replace it. Never replace it. In your notes, we're going to skip the interim verses, but the New Testament does mention that we are pilgrims. At least the King James translates it that way. Strangers and pilgrims, and I think that's a worthy subject, but it won't be tonight. Here are some basic bullet points. Number one, this is a journey. Do we recognize that? By the way, from Psalm 120 to 134, every psalm begins with this, a song of degrees or ascents. I don't care the language, which meant every single psalm is indicating you are going someplace. I don't know why this is difficult. It seems simple. As Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and which implies you're actually going some place. In your notes, this is just an introductory thought. Getting saved is obviously the key to it all. You have to get saved first. By the way, friends, do you know we have people here that aren't saved among us? Do you recognize it? Do you ever pray for them? Do you ever talk to them? By the way, you're not even in the journey until you begin, but not the time to talk about it. I say in your notes, this is simply the beginning. It is an essential beginning, but only the beginning. To only talk about how to get saved week after week after week without trying to round out some things ends up being a Christianity that's not going anyplace. This is a pilgrimage. You become a pilgrim and you move forward. I say in your notes, this salvation is the beginning of the journey. That's the whole point. Number two. Nothing deep here. It is a journey up. We spent a lot of time talking about this Hebrew word for degree. It's not important, the Hebrew word. If you get my notes offline, look at me. You can find all the verses right at the beginning. You've never seen every one of them in Hebrew because I wanted to be reminded this is a journey. Look at me. Not to your couch. Not to your toys. This is a journey up. And until you reach either the new Jerusalem in the future, or the heavenly Jerusalem, you're moving and you're moving up. There is no just hanging out, doing nothing. That's obvious. I say in your notes, all 15 of the Pilgrim Psalms begin with the same words. That word for degree, our steps, our stairs, our ascents. And we see it in Luke 2:42. They went up to Jerusalem, Luke 9:51. He set his face to be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 1831, we go up to Jerusalem. 1928, ascending up to Jerusalem. This is a journey up. I want to ask you a question for all of you people that are older than 18. When do birthdays become not important? They're not important to me anymore. But hear me. What's beautiful is when you see a kid, Jesse. Jesse was at our house today, and I'm like, who is this kid? He is full conversations, talking his head off. Right before he got his, he wanted to play some kind of, a brain game or something? I don't know what it is. It was good for him. By the way, you know why you like birthdays for kids? Because you see the kid doing what? You know why we have a problem in the Christian life? We ain't going anyplace. And it becomes obvious. Friends, I shouldn't have to tell anybody in this room to read a book. I shouldn't have to tell anybody in this room to memorize scripture. It is your journey going up. That's the nature of the journey for all of us. Number three, obviously, this is a journey with others. See, I don't like the others that I'm journeying with. Well, it is a journey with others. You don't go there alone. There is no gathering and going alone. Nobody went alone. That's Psalm 131, of course, and all the Psalms. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a journey together. Luke 2:41. Now when his parents went to Jerusalem, by the way, this was the very thing we're talking about physically. They were going from Nazareth, about 90 miles straight. I don't know exactly. It might have been another 30 or 40 miles going down the Jordan, coming back. But they were going on a journey that would take 3 or 4 or 5 days, probably 3 or 4. It says the parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, which obviously Passover, Pentecost, and at the end of the year, Sukkots, the whole tabernacles, those were your three times you were to visit. It says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, a lot of theys there, which for some reason I didn't mention, lots of theys. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, again, because you don't do it alone, they supposing him to have been in the company. That Greek word is found once in the New Testament. It's not an important word. It's found a grand total of one time, and modern translations or Greek dictionaries say it means, are you ready? Caravan. Because you didn't go to Jerusalem by yourself because it was dangerous. You always went with a group. By the way, why is church important? Because you do things together. You do things as a group. It's the way God made it. It says, it goes on to say, they sought him among the kinfolk. Kinfolk simply means people of the same genetics, basically. You know, your relatives. And then it has another word only here, the noistois, which is people that you knew. People that you knew, your acquaintances. So you say, who did Jesus and his family go there with? All of their believing relatives from around the area and all the people they knew, and they gathered together in some sort of a caravan and they went to Jerusalem together. We always do things together. All right, so everybody look at me. When a person has a problem, the problem in a church is always one. They're doing things alone. Look up here. I have never seen a person in nearly 40 years of pastoring that does well alone. Have you? And if you have, please tell me their name. People do well together. The beautiful thing, even if you're not physically in proximity, phone calls today, I'm using old method phone call. Kids don't do that anymore, do they? Now they do this, flat on the ear. By the way, phone calls, text. This week, I talked to Jim Dewar 3 or 4 times. I talked to Chuck Ells 3 or 4 times. I talked to a friend that I have, Jenny knows, I picked up his friendship after decades, Pete. He lives in Virginia. I have not physically laid eyes on Pete since 1986. But can I say something? We talked over 2 hours, and guess what we talked about? These kind of things. Christian life going forward. If you learn nothing else, you do this together, always. And people that do it alone, this is what happens. They get increasingly weird. They get increasingly, I don't want you in my business. And they increasingly pull back, and then they self-destruct. That's just a fact. Number four, this is a journey against the odds. There are some serious dangers in the journey that we're part of. Read with me in your notes, please. In my distress. Psalm 1, the first psalm starts with distress, being pressed in. Verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech. Meaning, I feel like I'm in a weird place because I should be able to do this easily, but there's many things around me against this. Yes, there are. He says that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I say in your notes, I hope you can't read the word. The first thing you learn when you have a Christian school with people from the public is everybody loves religion. Look at me in the eyes. That much. But the moment you get serious about Christianity, you start having people that don't really care about that. By the way, Christianity is a big business, serious business to me. Don't expect everybody that goes to some church to love you. And I'm not talking about any specific group. It's just the way it is. 1 Peter, I'll just read the part that's highlighted. Talking about once you get saved, wherefore they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Nothing here is going to surprise anyone, but these are the odds. You have sin to the right. You have sins. That's different. Then you also have friends. I hope your friends are actually friends. I'm looking around this room. Brian, and Isaac. Did we discuss in class a friend? Do you remember that friend's name? Amnon had a friend, and his name was? You're getting close. Brian, do you remember the name? By the way, 2 Samuel 13, Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, which was nobody's friend. Well, excuse me, he was one person's friend. Ooh, by the way, friends. Sadly, next line down, family. For some people, it's the family that just destroys them. They cannot do right because of a family. By the way, if you come from a dysfunctional family, if you come from a family that is highly enmeshed, and if you don't even know the concept of enmeshed, you should, first stage, run, because enmeshed families suck you back into the enmeshment. Of course, sadly, could be your own children. This is weird to me. I always thought that I was a Christian before my children, but we seem to have people that their children take them where they want to go. Weird. Life itself. By the way, how's life treating you? Life itself is one of the odds. Next, this is a tough one. The next F, failure. Failure is a huge problem that we all have, and everybody fails at times. Next, disappointments. You're disappointed in somebody. Next, your raging loves and or lust. Don't have time to talk about that. It's almost not even talked about anymore. How about this? Our own foolishness. Foolishness. How about this? False and foolish doctrines. Or, not that anybody in this room has any of this, quirks and quirkiness. You ever met a person quirky? Everybody look at me. This is now, what year is this? What year did we have to shut down, Tim? Was that the spring of 2021 or 2020? Tim? Spring of 2020. We used to have a guy come to this church. Young guy. I don't even remember his name, but I can tell you this. When he walked in the room, I knew one thing for sure. He was not going to survive. Do you know how I knew that? Quirky. Weird. Head's not screwed on straight. By the way, I've been doing this too long. Quirky people don't do well in life because quirky people do quirky things. Some of you don't even really get what I'm saying. By the way, it's not about me or about him. It's about here's a young man that has no idea. His own quirkiness is going to destroy him. And man, was he quirky as a bedbug. And sorry, I'm using analogies. I could use an Epus. If you've ever seen a little cockroach run around, just weird, quirky. In your notes, defensiveness. I always know where a person's going according to how defensive they are. If you just mention something, oh, don't do that. By the way, that's defensiveness. Do you know you're defensive or not? The moment you, oh, and you're like, whoa, sorry. Why are you so defensive? By the way, all of this stuff comes crashing in on us. Habits, H, culture. And I say in your notes, most culture, it doesn't say it, but most culture is not very Christian. How was Sunday school this morning for you that were awake? Everybody look at me. Linda Nanga came to me after Sunday school, and by the way, she actually listened. And she said, Pastor Warren, and this is typical conversation, when I'm back in Cameroon, I know exactly what it means to be a Christian. I come here, I have no idea. We don't even see their culture, how it impacts us. We don't see how it impacts our children. In our grandchildren, in our connections, cultures. By the way, I want to say this. This is a journey. It's a journey up. It's a journey with others. And it's a journey that's against all the odds. It's very difficult for a person to start out and make it through because all of this stuff is coming at them. Yes. I'm not trying to be negative, being factual. I'm quoting Cliff Cavallis. With an expansion by Ralph Warren. Some people never own the faith, and the faith never owns them. I don't know what to say about that. Number five, this is a journey for the distance. It's a long journey. Long journey. Long journey. Acts 2:5, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because they, Jewish people, and the proselytes and the God-fearers all came to Jerusalem because the Old Testament taught it. We don't know how often, but they at least came here on this one. And it says, verse 6, now when this was noised abroad and the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do we learn it? We're hearing the Bible, the gospel, in our dialects, the dialects of the home. Wow, how is that? And then, verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya around, and this is actually, I think, Cyrene is how they said it, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. In your notes, Parthia. Friends, I Google every one of these. Parthia was over 1,300 miles away. Please look at me. How are you getting there from Parthia? I'm asking you a question. How are you getting there? Flying? Car? You're walking. How long would it take to walk 1,300 plus miles? The answer is I don't know. I can't even imagine walking that far. My son was joking around with me recently. You know, John, when we were in Machu Picchu, he did the hike 4 days up, and he said, Dad, you're too old for that. Thank you, John. And last year, he decided to go on another short trip. He did a 9-day trip up Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. He said it really wasn't worth it. It was just a long trip to say, you've checked that box off, whereas Machu Picchu is beautiful. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever walked 15 miles up? at, are you ready, 14,000 feet? If you're in America, the answer is no, unless you're in Alaska. In your notes, these are just general distances. It's around 1,300 miles normal distance to Parthia. Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, according to where you're from, is at least 600 miles. Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia is around 1,100 miles, more or less according to the exact place. Egypt, that's the short journey, only 300 to 400 miles according to where you're coming from. Libya is as far as 1,640 miles. And by the way, I don't know if you came across the desert or you got on a boat and came. I don't know, but that's a long way across that Egyptian desert. Rome is the short version, 2,500 miles to Rome. Are you all getting the understanding? Look at me, friends. Mr. Tupper over here is 20 years old. Anderson, when I was a member of this church at age 22. The first time. Is the journey long? I'm asking a question. Is the journey long? It's now been over 40 years. Now, I haven't been here the whole time. Mike and Pam have been here. The old man back here has been here. This young couple here is, well, one of them's young. I don't know which one's young. This young couple's been here, but by the way, it's been over 40 years. I came here in 1977. Left here in 1981, 43 years ago. Wow. Long journey. In your notes, Crete, 645 miles or more or less by boat. Arabia, according to, again, where you're from, as much as 950 miles, according to where you're from. When I was in Bible college, this most stated statement that Dr. Evans, the president, used to say, and it is absolute, it's not a guess. Life is not measured in years. Life is measured in decades. Friends, anybody can fake it for a year or two. You don't fake decades. You follow the Lord is a lifetime that's proven over decade after decade after decade. So this is a journey. It's a journey up. It's a journey with others. It's a journey against so many odds that aren't pleasant. It's a long journey. Lastly, it's a journey about, for, and with the Lord. Dada's not here tonight. Everybody knows where Dada is? He's preaching out. By the way, he's been here a long time. I've said many times, the worst day of my life at this church is when Noel Hippolito left. The best day was when he came back. I've said that about three people. Another couple over here is the same. Unfortunately, I said it about a third couple that didn't do so well when they came back. And I love them just as much as the others. I want to say this, friends. This journey, look at me, is about you and the Lord. It is not about, I like the food. Or I like the culture, or I like the humor, or I like who that church hates, or I like their politics, or I like who they like, or I like to be right, I'm right, and the whole world is wrong. None of that has anything to do with Christianity. I see the young guys, Brian, my buddy over here. Are you 17, Brian, or 18? What? 18. I want to say to all of you, the journey that you're on is about the Lord. That is the center. If you don't have that in 10 years, 20 years, you won't be around. And I'm not just talking about here. How hard is it to figure out? It's a journey up with others, against the odds, long distance with the Lord. By the way, and when you finally get there, guess what? It's about the Lord. Psalm 134, verse 1. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. It's all about the Lord. And lastly, obviously we've spent nearly 20 weeks talking about songs. It's a journey of singing and songs. We're going to conclude. I'm going to pray. Pastor Kowak, I would like to sing the same song that we just sang, day by day, at least two stanzas. Let's stand, please. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful, for me, it's been a wonderful time to think about the journey and many implications of the journey. Beautiful text, beautiful concepts. It's been for me personally rewarding to have studied as opposed to simply read these psalms through the years. It's nice to reflect on them, and it's nice to go back to the center of the pilgrim psalms, the ascent psalms, the psalms of degrees, simply because this is what it's about. The moment we get saved, we're on the journey to the heavenly Jerusalem, and ultimately the new Jerusalem, and we do it with others. Father, help us to journey well with songs and singing, such as the one we'll sing now. May it be so in Jesus' name.